Welcome back to The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. After five big primaries in the eastern U.S. tonight, Trump and Clinton are the winners. We're going to talk about the results and the next few weeks in podcast 491. If you listen to podcast 490, this was a very long podcast that was about an hour long, and I took a moment and I thanked all the people that had donated to the Bob Davis Podcast. Now, every year at New Year's, I thank the donators for Mobile Podcast Command, and I thank all of the advertisers on the Bob Davis Podcast. And one of my longest-term advertisers and one of my favorite people is Ed Johnson at xgovernmentcars.com. I have watched Ed's business grow from the back of his house, the back of his driveway, where he had two or three Crown Vics that he would fix up and sell, to the mega truck and mega car center now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota at 356 19th Street. You can sneak through the lot and they've got all kinds of ex-government cars and trucks, Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. They certainly still do have the great ex-government cars, the Crown Vics, the Dodge Chargers, the Chevy Impalas, the Ford Police Sedans, the Ford Police SUVs. If you are looking for a work truck, an SUV, a van, they've got the Fords, the Chevys, the Dodges, the Toyotas, and more. But there's a couple of other reasons to shop at ex-government cars out in Forest Lake. First of all, they got the big selection. You can snake through the lot and see them. The second thing is they have fast financing for all credit levels at xgovernmentcars.com. They have the three-day peace of mind guarantee. You buy with confidence. Now, I want to say real quickly, it's tax time. So if you've got a return coming, you can take that out to ex-government cars and they can get that, they can help you get financing with that return. So with the three-day peace of mind guarantee, I'm kind of jumping around, and the credit approval for all levels, it's a great thing, especially if you're in business and you need a truck. And they take trades. They pay the highest values every day without a lot of BS. And that's a great thing. xgovernmentcars.com, xgovernmenttrucks.com, in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street. You can also call them at 763-777-8782.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Now, we have pilots listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, and if you are a pilot, I know pilots want to get there, but they want to get there safely, and they want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. And for that, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Alpha Systems has been behind this for probably almost 20 years. The bottom line is Alpha Systems created the AOA revolution, and AOA saves lives, because when you have a visual indicator of your angle of attack on final approach, it makes a huge difference. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thanks to the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast, Alpha Systems. Well, I made a giant cup of coffee and had a fantastic steak dinner tonight here at the broadcast bunker. No, I didn't grill tonight. I did the steak on a pan fry, and it was fabulous. And I purposefully avoided looking at the internet all day, and I purposefully avoided any news coverage. I ate and watched. I watched all of the Fear the Walking Dead so far. I ran out of those. I watched all the Mad Men's last week, so I'm out of those. That took almost 2 weeks to watch the entire series, which I'm going to probably do a podcast about my series viewing lately. And now I've started in with the second season of The Affair, which is a whacked out show. And some of my listeners will be like, why are you watching that? And others will totally get it. But I ate and I watched an episode of The Affair, and then I went online to get the results. A couple of things. First of all, I was on Facebook today and somebody made, one of my friends made a comment about a nationally syndicated talk show host that was very unkind, and how he didn't really like the company this guy worked for and didn't like this guy. And somebody commented in there somewhere, and I'm not going to say who, because I don't like that. And I'm not going to even say, I guess what the guy said was something to the effect of, this guy is, he's one of the Never Trump people and yet claims to be quote unquote objective. And somebody online said, quote, all these talk show hosts say they're objective, but they aren't. So I'm going to use this opportunity to tell you that I am not exaggerating and I am not campaigning for any of the candidates overtly or covertly. Someone who is part of the Never Trump group is not unbiased, and they can't claim that they're unbiased. And I don't really know who said that, but if someone is telling you that they're part of the Never Trump thing and they're unbiased, well, they're just lying. Or they are covertly supporting somebody. I don't support anyone overtly or covertly, and I'll tell you why. If I have a bias, it's that I don't like any of them. I have seen many of them campaigning up close. I don't think any of them will advance the country. Honestly, I don't believe anything any of them say. And this is not a natural inclination to not trust politicians. I just cannot get any traction with any of these candidates. I think 2016 is just basically a bad year so far. I do think that another shoe is going to drop nationally and internationally, and I do think that we will see a completely different campaign in the fall than what we are seeing now. Now, maybe that is a subconscious wish. We're going to have to see whether that kind of a prediction would come true. And really, it's not a prediction. It's just a feeling that I have, and I guess I would say that what is less than a prediction, what is a feeling? It's a thought starter. I can't get behind any of these people in either party. So I just need to confess that if there's a bias, that's my bias. And if you listen to my New Thinking podcasts, all you have to do is go online and search New Thinking, and you'll find three or four podcasts about New Thinking. And I should have entitled the last podcast about economics New Thinking as well, but I didn't. And I didn't, I don't know, I don't remember why I decided not to, but if you listen to that economics podcast, there's a lot in there about what I think we need for the building blocks of the future in this country, and I don't think any of these people have a clue how to handle these new technologies. I think we're still, there's a lot of candidates on the right and left that are continuing to talk about solutions that worked in the 90s. You know, those things just aren't going to, or the 80s or the 60s, and those things just are not going to work this time around. I will devote a longer podcast at some point to ideas for what kinds of things will work for the future and what won't. And in me confessing my biases, it's just that I just don't think any of these people have a clue. They sure act like they do, but they don't. And it'll take another podcast to flesh that out. But that's my bias. It isn't for a particular individual. It's for none of them. The fact is, one of these people, or a player to be named later, is going to win the presidency. So somebody's going to win, and we're going to be off and running after that. So we'll just have to see what happens. So those are my disclaimers. This was a big night for Trump and Trump supporters. And if that's you, congratulations. It was also a bigger night for Democrats because Hillary Clinton effectively eliminated Bernie Sanders from winning the Democratic nomination. I think you can effectively say that. And this is a much bigger story than the Republican side because Democrats are much less enamored of their mainstream establishment candidate than Republicans are of Trump and, to a lesser extent, Ted Cruz. The former Secretary of State and First Lady has over 2,100 delegates, while the Vermont Senator has 1,321. By maintaining the superdelegates and beating Sanders in every state except for Rhode Island tonight or last night, depending on where you hear this podcast, she is solidifying a big lead toward winning the nomination of the Democratic Party. It is not unreasonable to suggest that while Sanders may be a thorn in her side for the remaining few weeks of the primary season, she's probably got the Democratic Party's endorsement. Again, we'll have to see about that. I do see a lot of downhearted progressives who think Obama is a centrist and don't like the establishment ramming Mrs. Clinton, someone they also see as a centrist, down their throats. It's hard to believe anybody could see the president as a centrist, but there it is. I think they do. Unfortunately, it isn't translating into primary votes for Bernie Sanders despite his appeal. It's interesting because I wonder whether some Democrats are crossing lines and voting for Trump. There's a couple stories tonight about the fact that there are millions fewer Democrats voting for Democrats in this primary season. As many as 60,000 may have switched over to the Republican side in Pennsylvania. And that may have been true in Pennsylvania, where I was surprised by the strength of the Trump victory, given the fact that Kasich is from Kasich is from the neighboring state of Ohio and is the governor. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in later on in this podcast. Is it the anti-Wall Street, anti-trade elements of both politicians that attract people, or are Democrats crossing over to vote for Trump in the hopes that Hillary Clinton or Sanders would be able to beat him in a general election? And you and I cannot know the answer to that question. It remains to be seen. So here are the results, if you've not heard them, and then we'll talk about them a little bit and what perhaps they mean and what they mean for storylines. The reason I say that is I'm not going to tell you what they mean because I don't know that they mean anything, but I can tell you that they mean a lot to the storylines. In the Keystone state of Pennsylvania, Trump won at least 56% of the vote, which may rise to 60% by the time you hear this. You know, you have all these pundits talking about Trump at 60, Trump 60%, Trump 60%. He was under 60, which is good. I mean, he won 55% here, 57% there, whatever. It's close to 60, but here again, it's a distortion to say that he won 60% of the vote and won more than Hillary in terms of percentages. They're pretty close in both of their respective primaries. In Maryland, Trump won 55.5% of the vote with about 98% of the precincts counted, so it could end up being 60. We'll just have to wait and see. In Connecticut, Trump won 50.7% of the primary vote. Again, these aren't final totals, but they're close. In Rhode Island, he was at 63.8%. In Delaware, he was at 60.8%. Kasich came in second in four of the five states with about 23% of the vote overall. It's going to be enough for him in some places to get some delegates out of it. Cruz came in second in Pennsylvania with 21%, maybe 22% of the vote. Clinton's wins in Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, and Delaware look to be similar in size, as I said, to Trump's on the GOP side, about 56%, spiking in Maryland, where she won 63% of the vote among Democrats. Sanders won Rhode Island with 55%. Not a lot of delegates there for Sanders. And I think that they would have hoped to have done better. But this is a big decision for both the Clinton and the Trump campaigns. You know, I was surprised by the strength of Trump's vote in Pennsylvania, as I said, and I would have thought the proximity of Kasich to PA as the Ohio governor could have had some impact, but apparently not, or it could have had a negative impact. I have not been to Pennsylvania. And I was just thinking before doing this podcast, one of the reasons I was able to predict Florida was I was all over the state and I saw the Trump support in Florida. So I could say that. So, you know, I have to defer to people who have been to the state that would have predicted a Trump victory there. And some people did. So, you know, even though I forget which article, I think it was Bloomberg Politics, did a piece about Pennsylvania support for Trump, and they went to Johnstown, PA, which is an industrial town. And they wrote, it was mostly man on the street interviews, but they predicted that Trump would do well in Pennsylvania. This was the only state, as I said, that Cruz came in second in. So that was the end of that. And I don't know, Pennsylvania has a weird way of allocating delegates. So we'll have to see where the delegate count is after that gets done. I wonder also whether the how do I say this? Kasich and Cruz announced a detente where one would not campaign in Indiana and the other would not campaign in Oregon in an effort to quote unquote stop Trump or the never Trump thing. And I thought when I heard that it was a mistake for both of them because it makes both of them look weak. And I wonder whether the Cruz-Kasich detente actually hurt Kasich and Cruz in Pennsylvania. We'll see. Again, we won't see. I guess we will never know the answer to that question, but it's interesting. I think the Kasich-Cruz detente thing is really silly. But well, I got a great email from a listener, Ed, just on podcast 490, where I talked about economics and I thanked people for donating to the Bob Davis podcasts. And Ed told me a great little story in his email, and I'm not going to read it completely here, but he was out traveling. He was on a business trip, was listening to the podcast, and he was talking to his wife, who is a consultant. She was at home working and they had all kinds of plumbing problems. And she was like, "What do I do?" You know, because it was an emergency. And Ed, because he'd listened to the Bob Davis podcast, said, you call Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And he said, Ryan came out, they did a great job. They discounted some stuff, and we are really, really happy with Ryan's emergency service. So if you have emergency problems, something goes wrong, and it's never something that you knew was going to happen, it's always a surprise. A pipe breaks, a toilet breaks, you know, a water heater goes down. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too, so they've got a plumber near you. Ed and his wife are in the suburbs. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They're on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been. If you have an emergency, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. That goes for home or business. And I know a lot of people have small businesses, and you know, you have the same problems with a small business you have in your home. Things can go wrong with your plumbing, especially if you're retail or if you're serving people inside of a business. You got to have somebody on call that you can call, and Ryan Plumbing and Heating fits the bill. Once again, 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. And thanks, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So you heard the results. Let's talk about it a little bit. Trump said last night, it's over and he's the presumptive nominee. No, I'm not going to play it, because there ought to be at least one place you can come to get some election coverage without having to hear sound from these blowbag politicians. Is it over? Is he right? The answer is no. I saw a story this week that Trump makes it to 50% nationally. That was the headline in a poll. Now, this is a meaningless story, but look for more stories like this from Politico and other sources that feed into the Trump is inevitable storyline in the coming weeks, or at least until the next spate of primaries, if the results turn out to be different. The other storyline is that Ted Cruz is mathematically eliminated from winning the GOP nomination. Now, I agree that losses last night make it much more difficult for him to get to 1,237 delegates by the convention. Does it eliminate him? Well, who thought Cruz was going to win Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Delaware, and Maryland? Really? I mean, that's pretty much Clinton-Trump territory. These are moderate states. These are largely Democrat states. You know, Pennsylvania's probably can go either way, but you know, Rhode Island is a hardcore Democrat state. Connecticut has had Republican governors and senators, but Connecticut is hardly a conservative place. Delaware is, of course, the home state of Joe Biden, and of course, Maryland. I wouldn't call Maryland conservative. Okay, so the fact that Cruz didn't win in those states, which are not, that's not a place where the Bible Belt would be something that you would say about Delaware, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Pennsylvania. Who thinks Cruz is going to win New Jersey? I think it's going to be the same story. New Jersey, again, at best with Republicans, it's moderate, so that puts Trump in the driver's seat, or possibly Kasich, although I wouldn't hold my breath. So next week's primaries are going to be a big turning point, and the primary in Indiana is going to be a big turning point, but only if Trump wins Indiana. Now, if Cruz wins Indiana, which is possible, Indiana is very conservative. Obviously, the northern part of Indiana, when we talk about Gary and we talk about Elkhart and we talk about, you know, Muncie and places like that, it's hard to tell whether they are a little bit, Indianapolis, I'm sorry, are perhaps a little bit more moderate as they go. But Indiana is a very conservative state, and I would think Cruz would run well in Indiana. But the polls are all showing that Trump is doing well in Indiana, so it's hard to tell who's going to win in that place. If Cruz wins Indiana, which is possible, then the storylines are going to change back to his delegate wrangling and the possibilities that he will seize delegates from Trump and so forth. Again, this is all manipulation. It's just blah, 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 because, you know, just because Cruz wins Indiana doesn't mean that he's going to win the nomination. And just because Trump wins Indiana doesn't mean that he's going to win the nomination. And these people on TV keep saying the dumbest things. Chuck Todd said tonight, quote, "We're going to look back on tonight and say it was the beginning and the end of the, or the, what was it? we're going to look back on tonight and say it was the beginning of the end of the primary. Well, first of all, I said that 2 weeks ago because by definition, it is the beginning of the end of the primaries. They are all going to end on June 7th or thereabouts. It's basically May 1st. So yeah, there's 1 month left in this thing. Iowa was in February. So we are at the beginning of the end of the primaries, whether Joe Schmo gets the nomination or Donald Trump or somebody else. Now, of course, he was saying Trump's got it, it's the beginning of the end, and so forth. But I don't think that that is something that you can say. I think it's just more clickbait. It's more rife speculation. And, you go through and you go to the delegate counters and you give, you know, you'd have to give every state to Trump. And I'm going to talk about what's coming up next right now, because I don't think that you can say that Trump is going to get all these states. And it could be a mixed bag. So what's next? May 3rd. Indiana, which is where it is supposedly winner take all. And I'm going to talk about the delegate selection process in these states in a second. West Virginia and Nebraska on May 10th. Now, Nebraska is a winner take all state for the Cornhuskers. I had to say Cornhuskers, but the Cornhusker state is winner take all. West Virginia's delegates are supposedly directly elected, so I don't know how that works. I don't want to speculate there. So just because Donald Trump maybe wins West Virginia doesn't mean that he will get all the delegates from West Virginia. Oregon is on May 17th. It is supposedly proportional. This is a state that Kasich may not campaign in. I don't know if that helps Cruz or not. I know that Oregon, Eastern Oregon is obviously different from Portland and Western Oregon and the coasts. You know, there's a lot more conservative voters in Western Oregon, but I haven't been out there in a long time either, so I don't know what the story is going to be there. Washington State is on May 24th, and it is proportional. Here again, Seattle, you know, Olympia, the west coast of Washington is probably pretty, moderate for Republicans. But the western part of the state, which is a large part of the state, it may not be. South Dakota, New Mexico, New Jersey, Montana, and California are on June 7th, and that's a mixed bag. South Dakota is winner-take-all. New Mexico is proportional. New Jersey is winner-take-all. Montana is winner-take-all. And California is winner-take-all. But in all of these primaries, states have different methods of actually choosing delegates. So a win by any candidate may not mean what is reported to be. Let me give you an example. You know, I was surprised because I didn't know this, because I've been looking at the delegate counts at Real Clear Politics as the gospel. But I read tonight the fine print, and the fine print is that AP does the delegate counts, and AP's little disclaimer is, among other things, AP's delegate counts include estimates and data from interviews from delegates. So it's not a real delegate count. It's their analysis and estimate of the delegate count. Here's an example, another example. Pennsylvania allocates statewide delegates. So if you win the state, you win 17 statewide delegates, but from congressional districts, they allocate differently. So far in Pennsylvania, which is, you know, referred to as a winner-take-all prize, Trump only has 17 delegates, so I don't know how the rest of the allocations are going to work with the congressional districts in Pennsylvania. You will be able to go online and look at the individual congressional districts, and again, you'll have a little bit more knowledge than I would, because I haven't looked at those for Pennsylvania, and again, you will have a little bit more knowledge than someone, for example, who ABC's exit polls, as I said in a previous podcast. But I don't think you can say, you know, Trump's going to win all those Pennsylvania delegates. It's ridiculous when you start going through all these states' methods for choosing delegates. But if you've been listening for a while, you know that delegates choose the candidates in giant, bold, black caps. Not the percentage of popular primary votes, not whether it's a winner-take-all state, not any of those things, because it depends on whether delegates are binded beyond a first, second, or third ballot. It depends on how they're allocated. It depends on how they're chosen, and on and on and on. I would think Cruz has a better chance to win Indiana than Trump. As I said, obviously Trump will do better in the Garden State of New Jersey than Cruz or Kasich, but it depends on what is happening in those campaigns at the time of those primaries, which are coming up. Kasich and Cruz, as I said before, now have this supposed agreement not to campaign in Indiana and Oregon, respectively, so that one can get a larger percentage of the vote. For example, if you look at any of the states out west, I mean out east, that I say out east because I'm in Minneapolis and St. Paul. But if you look at the states that Trump won by 55% of the vote, let's say, you know, if either Kasich or Cruz had not campaigned, that might mean that one of them would have been able to garner 40% of the vote, which would have meant more delegates for them. So that's their strategy, is trying to see that they are able to at least keep Trump from getting enough delegates to actually get to 1237. This 1237 number is going to be increasingly difficult for Trump to get to as we continue down the line, specifically because of these kinds of things. Now, I don't know what's going to happen between now and then, so I can't tell you how it's going to roll out. But, you know, there's a lot of hoops here that have to be jumped through. Not only are there, you know, proportional states in the mix, but those states are all going to choose their delegates through other processes, and these campaigns are going to be part of it. So it's not just a matter of looking at a map and saying this state has this many delegates, and it's not like electoral votes at this point. You know, it's they are giving you that impression, but they're not bound to the popular vote, even though some electoral states are not bound to the popular vote, so they can vote, you know, they can vote how they want, although they haven't in quite some time in some states. And that's the Electoral College. The delegate thing is so complicated and Byzantine that I wouldn't even begin to try to tell you how that's going to lay out. Just, I'm saying, don't listen to these people that say this is the way it's going to be because this state has 43 delegates or whatever. Montana might be Cruz territory, and it might not be. I haven't been there either, so I don't know. Montana is a state that has been very conservative, but Montana is not entirely conservative. And there have been quite a few fights out there in the last few years. You have libertarians in the state, you have independent Republicans in the state. Montana's kind of an interesting political mix. Washington State, as I said, could go for Trump, but it could also go for Cruz. I doubt it would go for Kasich, but it's hard to tell. And then California is another one of those states which allocates statewide delegates to the candidate who wins, but the congressional district totals might be different. And I would caution people, yeah, there's 137-some delegates in California, but if Trump wins California, it might not put him over the top, and Cruz will do well in some parts of California. They're talking about polls show that Cruz will do better in the central part of the state, so Sacramento and places like that, than Trump. So it's going to be by congressional districts. So when you consider all of this, saying that Trump's going to win the delegates needed to cinch the nomination is like saying Chicago's going to win in the seventh. Again, we won't know until the pitches are pitched and the balls are hit and the players run the bases who is going to, you know, be winning. If we get to the ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth, and one has, you know, 10 runs and the other one has two, well, that's another thing entirely. But I don't think that's going to happen. Trump does have somewhere around 950 delegates, maybe, which is within striking range of 1,237. But there's an awful lot more that has to be played out before those delegates, those remaining 300-some delegates get allocated. Cruz has 500. So what's the wild card? Well, the wild card is what the Republican establishment may or may not do. And I would now suggest that people start watching the Democrat Senate primaries closely and watch the Senate seats Republicans are defending in 2016, because this is where the real issue will be. And I'm going to give you a list of those so you can figure it out. John McCain is supposedly going to have a strong Democrat challenger in Arizona. Arizona is one of those states that is no longer, you know, considered a guarantee for the Republicans. Marco Rubio is, you know, they're concerned about Marco Rubio's seat. You wonder why he suspended his campaign before it was plain that he might lose Florida in his, you know, in the primaries. Now, this was his home state, and if he lost his home state, it would have hurt his chances for the Senate. So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to get a strong challenger. There are rumors down there that people don't support him, that they're unhappy with his performance as senator and so forth. I don't know if any of that's true. I'm just saying he's on the list of people who may have to defend against strong Democrat challengers. Chuck Grassley in Iowa, I would think is safe, but he's on this list. Mark Kirk of Illinois, no Republican is safe in the land of Lincoln. Illinois is very moderate. Mark Kirk, you know, it's a statewide thing. And if it's a statewide thing, you know, you're talking about Cook County, you're talking about lots of issues in Illinois. And Mark Kirk, while he is a moderate senator, no Republican is safe in Illinois. Dan Coats in Indiana. And the reason I'm mentioning these people is they're from relatively moderate states. Indiana, I wouldn't say is moderate, and I would imagine that he's fairly safe, but they're saying that that's one of those states where it could be an issue. Think of this in terms of what happens if a Trump or Cruz is at the top of the ticket, and start to, you know, Cruz has very thin appeal in general when you look at a general election. So the national party is going to be looking at these senators and saying, if we lose three of these, we're going to lose the Senate. If we lose two of these, we lose the Senate. So they're going to be very concerned about winning as many of these as possible, and they're going to be thinking about who's at the top of the ticket. Donald Trump doesn't help any of these guys. Roy Blunt in Missouri, I don't know much about that one. Richard Burr in North Carolina, same story. Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire, same deal. Rob Portman in Ohio. Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania is going to have a strong Democrat challenger, as will Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. And in all of these states, a moderate Republican candidate for president may either be neutral for them or help them. So that's going to be what the RNC is thinking about. And again, these are the seats that are considered unsafe this year, and that is they are senators who may face formidable challenges. There's too many congressional seats to talk about in this podcast, but I will tell you it's all about down ticket. And if the Republicans think that people at the top of the ticket will hurt the down ticket, then they're going to pull a fast one, and they're going to call in a play, I believe, especially if nobody gets to the convention with enough delegates to get a first round of victory. The establishment is concerned about what happens, as I said, in some of these Senate races with a Trump or a Cruz candidacy. They will be looking at polling. They will be working out internal polling. They will be looking and talking to those senators. If they think a Trump or Cruz ticket means the loss of the Senate, they're going to pull out all the stops to do something about a unity moderate ticket. Now, I'm not saying this will happen, but senators are not endorsing either Trump or Cruz. Do you think that they might know a little something-something that we don't? So the storylines for the next 2 weeks are going to be all about it's over. And I don't think it is, and I don't believe it, and I don't think you should either. All these wins for Trump do is raise the stakes significantly in the next few weeks. We aren't going to know until the end how close the front runner in the GOP is to actually getting the nomination. And if Trump's going to get it, it has to be in the first ballot. So we aren't going to know how it's going to play out at the convention until the convention. And if you want to know why I say that, just look at the remaining primaries and ask yourself, you know, whether they're winner-take-all or allocated or rather proportional states, and then ask yourself if you want to do more research, find out how those delegates are allocated, and you're going to realize that this is really iffy. And it helps both campaigns, and they've both been doing it, and I'm talking about Cruz and Trump. They've both been declaring that it's over for the last, you know, 2 months. Every time something happens, it's good, they say it's over. So I wouldn't listen to either one of the campaigns at this point, because they're going to declare victory, because that gives them what they refer to. That gives them, it's not what they refer to. I think they think it gives them momentum. Finally, there's going to be an increase in White House source stories about world leaders who are terrified of a Trump candidacy. There's going to be an increase in stories about how polls show that Trump's got this. There will be an increase in stories about how the delegate election process is rigged. And it is, but for good reason, which I've already told you about. And I told you that before all of these other talk show hosts jumped on the bandwagon last week and said it was rigged. I said it was rigged a long time ago. There will be an increase in stories about behind-the-scenes politicking at GOP and Democrat events and how they're wrangling delegates and how this one's trying to steal that one and it's not Democratic and on and on and on. And there will be an increase in sniping between the Clinton and Sanders campaigns because all is not well in the Democrat world either. So what are the takeaways? Well, if you're a Republican, we still don't know and we won't what is going to happen. And there are going to be surprises. Don't forget the delegate count advertised on all these shows, maybe even here, may not be the actual delegate count. Only the delegates know for sure where they stand, and you're not going to know where they stand, and the media isn't going to know where they stand, and the campaign vote counters are not going to know where they stand. When you see all those black and white pictures of Bobby Kennedy at the 1960 convention sitting on the bed that was all rumpled on the phone and wrangling the delegates down on the floor, that's what these people are going to be doing at the convention, is trying to count noses and figure out who's voting who and how. And that's why the Kennedys brought in LBJ, because they knew that he would solidify the count at the 1960 Democratic Convention. There's going to be stories about how the national committee chairs are calling for unity, and that means that they're preparing for an inevitable Trump or Clinton nomination. They are not saying this, people, in a way that says unify behind this guy, as the Republicans did in 2008 and 2012, particularly on the Republican side, they said unify behind McCain and unify behind Mitt Romney. They're saying we have to support the nominee. At this point, the nominee could be anyone, and I'm willing to bet it won't be Trump and it won't be Cruz. Now, I'm also willing to lose this bet. I'm not making a prediction. Here again, it's a thought starter. These guys all sound super confident, but the fact is, nobody knows anything, and they really don't know how this is going to come down. And if somebody went on television tomorrow and said, we have no idea how this is going to come down, they'd probably be fired. I think it's easier to predict a Clinton nomination at this point than a Trump nomination, but as I said, all is not well in the Democratic Party. Disaffection is rife in the American electorate, as I talked about. I think a lot of people are with me. They're not happy with any of these people. Certainly the working class is just pissed off about everything, and that bodes well for Trump, and it bodes well for Bernie Sanders, but it doesn't mean either one of them is going to be the nominee of the mainline parties. My sense is that Clinton does not have the strength of an Obama or even a Bill Clinton or a George W. Bush when they won their party's nominations and the elections that follow. I think she is a troubled candidate at best, and the support for her is tepid at this point at best. Some would argue she doesn't even have the same level of support as John McCain for Republicans in the primary season of 2008 or Mitt Romney in 2012. So, yeah. We're almost at the end of the primary season. And despite the wins for Trump on Tuesday night and the wins for Clinton, I think the picture, if anything, isn't any clearer at all. I think it's less focused, and we'll just have to see what happens. Once again, thanks to Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. Ed's story is great because it illustrates the need for reliable emergency service. And I talk about a lot of things with Ryan, but one of the things they do well is emergency service. 651-224 in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide. Doesn't matter where you are in the metro, they can get a plumber to you. And it comes in real handy having a number and a name at the top of your mind when something goes wrong, because you know what? Something always goes wrong. Also want to thank Ed Johnson at xgovernmentcars.com and xgovernmenttrucks.com in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street. I have had three Crown Vics, so I've had a 2001 Crown Vic, 2004 three Crown Vic, and a 2007 Crown Vic, and now I have the 2000 Ford Super Duty 450 diesel ambulance, better known as Mobile Podcast Command. They're great. If you're looking for a work truck, if you're looking for a car, check out X Government Cars. Why pay a huge amount for a brand new vehicle when you can get a Yukon, or you can get an Expedition, or you can get a Crown Vic, or you can get an Impala that has been fleet maintained by the government? They make it all ready for you. They got great after sale service and financing and everything else. XGovernmentCars.com.
XGovernmentCars.com.
So as my friend Patrick Ricey said to me one time, I was interviewing him on the radio, and I said something like, well, what's going to happen with this and what's going to happen with that? Because I don't know anything about sports. And he said, well, Bob, that's why we play these games, to find out what the outcome will be. And that is what is going on right now. This is just a series of games that are being played. I've done my best to give you the kind of background that you need to be able to look at this from 30,000 feet, instead of getting completely sucked into the emotion that the television networks and the internet, news aggregators and everybody else are pushing in your face. I think it's going to remain, as I said, less focused as we get down the line. And we're just going to have to wait probably until the convention. Now, if one of these candidates hits the magic number, then the whole picture changes. And we'll be talking about how the Republicans are going to deal with Trump being the nominee. I wouldn't say that right now. And I could talk about it, but I'm not going to because A, it's speculation. And B, I don't think anybody can say for sure who's going to be the nominee on the Republican side. It's getting clearer on the Democrat side, but not on the Republican side. So I'll keep you abreast when there is another primary and there's news about it. So the next primary is May 7th, I think. So that's going to be, is that next Tuesday? I'd have to check the calendar, but it's going to be the Indiana primary. That's the next time I'll do a podcast that talks about politics, because if I do another one, it's just going to be nonsense. So, nobody knows anything at this point. So thank you for listening. Hope I'm helping. Let me know. You can make comments on the website at thebobdavispodcast.com. Just go to the comment section and you can make a comment. You can send me a message. I love to get them. Thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or tune in. I want to thank you for listening on blogtalkradio.com, getting a lot of listens on blogtalkradio.com. And thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show at gcnlive.com and also at AM 1280 The Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 4 p.m. on Saturdays. It's kind of a rehash of what's in the podcast, but if you're a radio listener, you know, you may not have heard them. And as we get new affiliates, I'll shout them out. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, where I'm bdavis7843. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Podcast 491. See, I almost took the breath for the bye-bye before I told you the number of the podcast. So now I have to breathe out.
Listen as the wind blows from across the great divide, voices trapped in yearning, embers trapped in time. The night is my companion, and so